Good morning, everybody, and welcome to America's favorite theological game show, What Does God Say? May I have my ushers stand up, please? It's time finally to settle all those old and maybe some new issues that have held us in the grip of uncertainty, so I want to ask you to take up paper. You've got paper at each of your seats and a writing instrument, and write down what you would like God to communicate to you. What would you like God to tell you? Just write one or two sentences or maybe just a phrase, but write down very quickly what you want God to tell you, and our ushers will come around and gather those papers together. So write quickly. You don't have more than 2 minutes to do this. And write a sentence or two just saying what you want to hear from God. I'll give you a minute to write, then we'll collect all your papers, put them together in one pile before God, and wait for God to speak. Continue writing while I remind you that this program is brought to you by Quiescent Technologies, makers of the world's finest sound-canceling headphones. Whether you're enjoying a lunch at a street cafe, taking a long-distance airplane trip, or stuck at home with your kids on a rainy Saturday, we all have times we'd like a little peace and quiet. Just put on a pair of Quiescent Technologies sound-canceling headphones and you won't hear a thing. The advanced design of these fine headphones cancels out fire alarms, nagging mothers, police sirens, and even nuclear detonations. And Quiescent Technologies is proud to announce its new line of self-amplification headphones, which help you hear your own voice, but stronger, prouder, and louder while drowning out any other sound in the room. Ideal for bloggers, TV commentators, and presidential candidates. Remember, Quiescent Technologies, it's on the QT. Ushers, have you got the papers? Y'all need to write faster. Come on, come on. Yeah, okay. Turn in the papers. Got him. Here's another one. It's your late wife. Oh, Steve has one. Mark. Come on. More over here. Oh, my. Y'all are slow riders. Done? Good. Thank you. Here we go. My poor ushers didn't get a vote. Oh, good. Okay. After that commercial, we need to pray. Lord, let what we share here today, thinking in our hearts and speaking with our voices, be pleasing to you and advance us closer to you on account of Jesus. Amen. We read our texts out loud just now. Very, very powerful texts. But there are times when I read texts like this, recognizing their power, feeling the depth of them, but also feeling very, very widely separated from what's going on in the world as I read these texts, asking the question, what do these things have to do with children being caged at the border? What do these things have to do with people who are hungry on the streets of the United States, to say nothing of the rest of the world? What do these things have to do with the failures of democracy that we see, not just in this country, but also all the more elsewhere? And I feel a disconnect. But the connection point here that I think I see is in the Hebrews passage, where the writer says God has spoken and is speaking. God has spoken to us. Have you ever wanted, I mean, desperately wanted, yearned for God to speak to you? Sometimes maybe it was in response to a tragedy or a conflict or a hard decision to make. You're just seeking comfort. You're seeking some peaceful communication from God. And wouldn't it be great if this game show was real and we could really take all of these yearnings of ours and put them down, and then real quickly, God would come back with answers to every single one, with a response, with just what we want to hear God communicating to us. This week, I went over to get a client to sign a naturalization application, and she was very concerned because she has just come out of an abusive marriage. She wants to take her daughter home to her home country, kind of settle the daughter for a time with her parents back in the home country. But this naturalization application requires the mother to show up for fingerprints at a time and date set by the government, not by her choosing. And then it requires her to come back for a naturalization interview where she has to answer hard questions about civics and so forth, and then be here for a oath ceremony. How can she do that going back and forth to her home country a long, long distance away? And she was asking me, you know, when should I buy the plane ticket for? And I had to say, I don't know. Your lawyer can't tell you this. Your pastor can't tell you this. I was put together with her by the pastor of her church. And she's a very faithful Christian woman. And she said, well, I guess I just have to ask Jesus. I must ask Jesus for wisdom. And she and I prayed together. I occasionally pray with my clients and prayed that Jesus would give her wisdom. But I cannot help but wonder, will she have the wisdom to choose the right date? I hope that's not unfaithful of me to wonder that. But because at times God is silent when we want God to speak. And God is not just silent for us Christian duffers like me. God is even silent toward some of the greatest saints ever. Most recently, I read a marvelous book, the collection of the letters of Mother Teresa, called Come Be My Light, which was Jesus' call to Mother Teresa, come be my light. This is not her asking God to do something. This was Jesus asking her to do something. And during her early days in the convent, she was very close. She had a real intimacy of spirit with Jesus. But then actually after she began her order in Calcutta and it began to spread, she experienced more and more spiritual darkness. And she said there were great lengths of time where she just simply prayed and felt no response at all, no sense of God speaking or leading or no intimacy like she once felt with him. She wrote, I am told God loves me, and yet the reality of the darkness and coldness and emptiness is so great that nothing touches my soul. This is Mother Teresa. The writer to the Hebrews is addressing an audience and saying God has spoken to us. And the audience are Hebrews. They're Jews. They're people who know their Old Testament, their prophets, their law, and the writings. They know how God has spoken to them. And so the writer says, God has spoken long ago to our forebears through the prophets in many portions and in many ways. And think about that a little bit. You're all scholars of the Old Testament. So think about in the Old Testament, what are some of the ways that God spoke to the people of God?
A burning bush.
Yes, to Moses. What else?
Prophets.
Yes.
Still small voice.
Who heard the still small voice?
Elijah.
Bing. Very good. Y'all are scholars. Yes.
A cloud,
a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Although there was a kid who answered a Sunday school quiz incorrectly about that. He was talking about Lot's wife and said she was a pillar of salt by day and a ball of fire by night. Sorry. I can't help this. It's just part of my makeup. What other ways? The Star of Bethlehem, a celestial body, yes. Dreams, said Anne. Right.
The Exodus.
The actual event where God led out the people.
A donkey.
Or as it's in the Hebrew, in the King James, an ass. Yes, Balaam's ass. Right, all kinds of really peculiar ways. Visions, dreams, prophecy, sometimes a still small voice, sometimes we can't tell, but it talks about God walking in the garden and calling out with an audible voice. All kinds of ways. So these are remarkable ways that God spoke in the Old Testament, and the writer to the Hebrews knows them all, and the people listening are saying, yeah, God did that. God did that. I remember that. But what else do you notice about God speaking in the Old Testament? Is it on command? Very rarely. Occasionally, yes. Gideon puts out the fleece and says, make it wet and the ground dry in the morning if you want me to go after the Midianites. God does that. And then Gideon says, well, I don't believe that one. So he reverses the sign and God does that. Well, God is, you know, speaking there on command at a request. But ordinarily, no. Ordinarily, the communications of God, like the burning bush, are just there in the middle of the wilderness without any prelude or request or anything.
God does not speak on command, and there are times when God doesn't speak for a long, long time. Daniel prayed, what was it, 30 days before finally he has an angel visitation in Babylon to talk to him about the warfare that's going on hidden from his view. And if you talk about prophecy, the last prophet, last writing prophet was Malachi in about 435 BC. From then to John the Baptist, silence, at least in terms of the prophetic voice that finds its way into Scripture. So it's not on command, and there are times of silence. And what about the substance of those messages? Were those messages generally messages of encouragement and happiness? Some of them certainly were. But what about the prophets? Were they usually telling people, you're doing great, keep it up? Not so much, right? Did they tell people the things they wanted to hear? Even when it's paid for, you get a bad message. Again, Balaam's ass. Remember, this is the king of Moab, is calling on Balaam, this prophet, and he's a prophet of God, he's paying him money and saying, curse Israel for me so I can, you know, the Moabites and I can defeat them in battle. And Balaam says, well, all I can do is say what the Lord has done. And then he gives this long prophecy about how the Israelites are great. They're the apple of God's eye, and anyone who opposes them will be smashed. And Balaam says, don't say that. That's not what I asked for. It's not the message that he wanted to hear. And so often it's not the message that people want to or expect to hear. And sometimes it's really miserable for the deliverer of that message, too. Balaam has got to have been worried what happens when I give the bad message to Balak, the king of the Moabites. Or Jeremiah, for example. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, is constantly talking about the coming destruction of Jerusalem, the coming conquest by the Babylonians, and the years when Israel will be in exile. And everyone's telling him, shut up, don't say that, we don't want to hear it. And he says himself, I'm miserable doing this, God. Every time I speak, I cry aloud. I proclaim violence and destruction, because for me, the word of the Lord has resulted in reproach and derision all day long. But if I say, I will not remember him or speak any more in his name, then in my heart, it becomes like a burning. I am shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. I cannot endure it. So maybe asking God to speak is one of those be careful what you ask for things. But things changed in the New Testament, right? And that's what the writer to the Hebrews says. In the past, God spoke through the prophets to us in many portions, in many ways. Many portions, you know, the message had segments and different pieces of it, and many ways, many media, including bushes and donkeys and people. But in these last days has spoken to us in a Son. God who spoke to our forebears. And that's why the narrative lectionary, I think, puts together this passage, the Hebrews 1:1-4, together with the John 1:1-5. Because in the beginning was the Word, Halogos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing came into existence that came into existence. The Word. Now that reminds us of what? Genesis 1, right? In the beginning, Breshit is the Hebrew, in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. And how did God create those? Exactly. He spoke them into existence. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said, let there be a separation in the firmament. And God said, let the earth teem with creatures. God spoke all of these things into existence. And the writer to the Hebrews is reminding us that Jesus was the very creative power of God, the Word, through which all things came into being. The writer to the Hebrews says the same thing in that passage that we've read from Hebrews. Let's see. Whom God appointed heir of all things, through whom God made the world. So what's the point here? The point is that there's a lot of words that come from God. We have a lot of them in here. Words that come from God. But there is one perfect word of God. One word. I love the hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And in it, in the English translation, there's this one passage where Martin Luther has written that the Prince of Darkness grim, we tremble not for him, his rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure, one little word shall fell him. And what word is that? That word above all earthly power, no thanks to them abideth, the Spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Doth ask who that may be, Christ Jesus, it is he, the Word. The only truly infallible, inerrant Word of God is Jesus. So says our Scripture. Jesus is the Word of God, the final Word. As the writer to the Hebrews says, Jesus is also God, the radiance of God's glory, the exact imprint of God's nature. Now, wanting to hear from God, though, remains one of those be careful what you ask for things, doesn't it? Even in the New Testament. Because think about the New Testament, the words that Jesus communicated. Sometimes they were words of comfort and peace. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But other times, they were things like, you brood of vipers. They were even to his closest followers, his very closest follower. He said once, get behind me, Satan. Yikes. These words are tough. Hearing from God is not an easy and comfortable thing all the time. But what did that same apostle say when others had left and Jesus said, are you going to leave too? He said, where else are we going to go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. There's no place else to go. I don't know where to go with all of this except to draw for myself some conclusions about God speaking. We've asked God to speak here. I'm going to pass these on to Melissa, or maybe to the prayer team, and we'll work on them. We've asked God to speak, and we want God to speak. But when we do, I guess we need to remember. First, if we want to know what God has to say, principally, we need to look to Jesus. More than any place else, we need to look to Jesus. If we want to hear God's voice, we must attend to the Word incarnate. And that means paying attention to the words of Jesus as we find them, but also to the deeds of Jesus as we find them. That's what God's like. That's God's voice to us in these days. And what a precious treasure we've got there. On the Mount of Transfiguration, what did God say to those somewhat befuddled apostles? He said, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Secondly, there will be times of unexplained silence. We've all experienced them. Mother Teresa experienced them. Martin Luther experienced them. Everybody experiences it. Why? I don't know. I really don't know. I think sometimes the answer for me is because I'm a sinner and stupid. But there are other reasons too. And for the most part, we're not given an answer. Mother Teresa, it's very interesting in this book, and I really commend this book to you. It's marvelous reading. Mother Teresa came to believe that her long times of dry darkness were Jesus allowing her to experience some of his own suffering over the broken world, his own suffering on the cross, when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And she said, it's a privilege to be called into this darkness with my precious Jesus. There will be times of silence when we are seeking God to speak. Third, we need to be attentive to God speaking in unexpected ways. It's not just going to be, you know, pick up your Bible and read, which is my favorite way, but there's going to be a lot more than that. Has God quit using signs and wonders? Not according to reports I get from all over the world. Has God quit using dreams? What about it, Dwayne? Not at all. He's my favorite dreamer. and all kinds of ways. We need to be attentive, paying attention. Mindful living means paying attention. Oh, it also means, by the way, taking off those QT sound suppressors. Letting ourselves really listen with God in mind. And then finally, we need to be open, I need to be open to listen to God's voice when it may shock me, when it's something I don't want to hear, when it may challenge my complacency, my contentment, my self-righteousness. The same Lord who said, "Come to me, who are weary and heavy laden," yes, said, "Brood of vipers," said all kinds of things. But in the end, that same Lord stretched out his hands on the cross and showed a perfect love that no words are any contrast to. When God speaks, it is a word of love. When God speaks, it is the Word incarnate. When God speaks, it is Jesus.